Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Once again, an on-time edition of the NXT Podcast, huh? That's impressive, right? I feel good about it. You should feel good about it. I'm your host. My name is Zachary Smith, here with you each and every week to talk about NXT. In addition to this podcast, I am also the host of Random Wrestling. If you follow this podcast, you can find that one everywhere you find this one. It's real simple. I go through a random list of all WWE's pay-per-views and all the years that those pay-per-views could have happened. Thus far, we've covered Hell in a Cell 2019. That's the Terrible Fiend Seth Rollins match. We also did the Capital Punishment 2011 last week on, I think, Saturday. That's the 2011 match where R-Truth almost was going to become WWE Champion for that 1 month that they took him seriously and he wasn't a weirdly racial depiction of a black guy that's not very smart. He wasn't that here. He was somebody who could have been WWE champion. Had a lot of fun talking about that. Again, you can find Random Wrestling anywhere you find this podcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. You get updates on when this podcast comes out, when Random Wrestling comes out, what I'm going to be talking about, wrestling, other fun stuff over there. So check it out. Before we get started, we do have to do news, which is news with an exclamation mark. It's a segment where I talk about like very carefully curated news points that I've heavily researched and have put a lot of thought into, and is absolutely not me typing WWE into Google, hitting news and reacting to what's there, because that would be lazy. That wouldn't be me giving my all for you guys. And you know that's not what I'm about. But, like, if you were going to do that, like, probably the biggest thing would be that WWE does, or rather did this thing that they do a lot, where WWE ranks their own stuff, which is kind of a company equivalent of liking, like, your own post, kind of a self-high-five situation. They started ranking their tag teams over the course of their company, which is funny because it's like it's an opinion. You're WWE, so you're biased. And also, like, WWE's never cared about tag teams. Like, Vince McMahon, from the day he took over, didn't care about tag teams. Why would you worry about four people when you can worry about two? It's why most of the WWE's biggest matches ever have been one-on-one matches. They like to keep it simple, so they often don't put tag teams in the forefront. Now, they do put stables in the forefront. That's why, like, the Shield was so successful. Because, yeah, they were a team, but all three of those dudes became world champion out of it. So, like, the group is popular, but not a tag team. Anyway, WWE ranked their tag teams. And they ranked the New Day as the greatest team in WWE history. Now, they've been tag champions 11 times total. 7 times they've been the SmackDown tag champions, which is a record. They were also Raw tag team champions for 483 days. And then they do the power of positivity. So they put this list out, and I'm not sure why they do these lists. They just kind of do. Big E tweeted, "I know many will disagree with the list, but being named the greatest tag team of all time makes me reflect on our journey. I'm massively thankful to Kofi Kingston and Austin Creed. I'm thankful we bet on ourselves and were unafraid to pursue a path that felt right for us." It seems like people are, like, upset about this. It's a weird thing to get upset over. Again, it's like an opinion thing. And also, like, WWE doesn't care about teams, so, like, they just threw some names together. they're probably upset because, like, the Hardy Boys were the number two spot. Hart Foundation, Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys rounded out the top five. The Legion of Doom was 6. New Age Outlaws was 8. Rock and Sock Connection was 16. I'm good with this. Like, I've never been a Hardy Boys guy. And, like, I know that's not... You're not supposed to do that. It's never been my thing. I always thought they were weird. And they never did it for me. I was like Matt Moore of the two. So, that's cool. Hart Foundation was fantastic. I think they could have taken the top spot on this list. Edge and Christian were a tag team for a long time and were more successful than you might think. Most of the time when you're thinking about any of those tag matches with the Dudleys or Hardys or all of them, those ladder matches, those fantastic matches, more often than not, Edge and Christian would win those matches for whatever reason. They also had the advantage of, like, Hart Foundation had Bret Hart break out. Edge and Christian had Edge become multiple-time WWE champion. Christian was, let's see, NWA champion when he went away. When Edge retired, he won the World Heavyweight title for a night. Dudley Boys, solid tag team. Never been my thing, but that's cool. Bully Ray, which, thinking about it, not a great name. Kind of had a good singles run in TNA at the time. So, Rock and Sock Connection was, like, barely a team. Legion of Doom was, like, interesting, but also they just came in and beat people up. Get the hell out of here with your New Age Outlaws on this list. So, like, I can see why one would be upset at putting a more recent tag team on their greatest list ever, but it's real hard to argue with the New Day in the ring or outside of the ring or on promos or just the fact that, like, three black dudes were successful in WWE is kind of miraculous. And whatever you think of happening after, Kofi did win the WWE title at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan, and Big E and Xavier were there. So, yeah, they probably are the best tag team WWE's ever had. Again, in a company that never is going to care about them. See, one of the titles is grading former WWE star stint in AEW so far. So, obviously, AEW has some former WWE guys. So, on the kind of brand-defining talent, they have Jon Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose. That's a good call. Him getting to, like, do his own ideas. Turns out he was pretty good at them. He's been IWGP United States champion. He also won the AEW title from somebody else who I'm sure is going to be on this list. He gets a lot of headlines because he talks about WWE and their creative process being bad. Some guys and women, when they do that, sound just bitter. He sounds like he's raising good points. Jon Moxley is, like, one of the faces of AEW. Great signing, great stint so far. Cody Rhodes. I don't know if I'm a Cody Rhodes guy, man. I think Cody Rhodes is good. I think maybe not a cornerstone of your company, but he certainly made more of himself than WWE would have. Chris Jericho's on this list. Listen, I'm going to be real honest with you. When Chris Jericho came to AEW, it was fun. And then we all slowly tried to ignore the fact that he had, like, slowed down a lot in the ring. And we're just like, he's the best ever. And then he would, like, have concerts where, like, you know, COVID was a thing. I don't know if you heard about this COVID thing, but he'd have concerts. There was an All Lives Matter thing in there. There's these WWE women's wrestlers made fun of me. And when they come around in 6 months looking for a job, I'm going to remember that, which means he's blacklisting people. So that's cool. He seems like a good guy, huh? So, like, maybe all I'm saying is, if a dude has repeatedly proved to you that he's, like, not a good dude, like, it's one thing if one of this happens, but, like, all of them, like, might just be a bad dude. So, like, maybe we could quit calling him, like, the best ever and, like, acting like everything that he does is great. Mr. Brody Lee's on the list. He absolutely should be. If he were still alive, he would be one of the people toward the main event of that show. It's very sad that he died. I'm glad that he got a chance to do something different before he passed away. And then his son continues. Miro, formerly Rusev, he's the TNT champion now, so I guess he's being taken a little bit more seriously. So that's good. He was a gamer before. FTR, I'm all good on them forever. They're boring. And, like, I can only hear, like, oh, man, old school wrestling at its finest, the psychology, so many times before, like, I also need you to, like, be entertaining. And that's a thing that doesn't often happen with those dudes. They have excellent matches, and I love watching excellent matches. But I also want to see some outlandish stuff, and I want to see you make me interested in those matches before they happen. FTR has not done that once. For me, that's a personal preference thing, but it's just me. So, that's some of what's going on in the news. Let me know on Twitter, again, at ZACHNXT, who do you think the best WWE tag team of all time is? So, I like it. But I want to hear what you think. So, as for NXT, at the beginning we get a recap of some of last week, specifically Diamond Mine debuting. And it's the Road to the Great American Bash. There's a recap of Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Also tonight there's going to be a triple threat tag match to determine the number one contenders for the women's tag titles. And we are in fact opening with that tag match. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon are out first. They are the former women's tag champions. I don't feel bad if you didn't remember. I had to look it up because I had forgotten. Zoe Stark is out next. Please, please, please don't forget she's a star. We promise. Wait. We promise she's a star. Look who she's with. Lights go out quickly on her garbage entrance music. And it's Io Shirai, who has much better entrance music because she's like a star. And last out's Dakota Kai, followed by the women's champion Raquel Gonzalez. It really feels like Dakota Kai could be cool if they wanted her to be, but I don't think they do. And so, like, she's there a lot to lose. So, like, I knew somebody was going to pin Dakota Kai, just wasn't sure who. And, like, you can only do that so many times before you see somebody as, like, a loser in that a person who loses a lot and then just kind of expect it from them. It's kind of like the Dolph Ziggler of NXT, you know? Like, entertaining. Fantastic in the ring can make anybody look good. Also, no chance they're going to win. So that's cool. I also keep forgetting that Raquel's the women's champion. So, like, I don't know if that's great or not, but I do. So Dakota and Raquel and Shotzi and Ember have been tag champs. Dakota and Raquel were the first champions. Then Shotzi and Ember beat them. Then Indy and Candice beat Shotzi and Ember. So Io and Zoe Stark would win. Then I assume the women's tag division, like, itself is a really cool idea. Take a bunch of the women that you're not doing anything with in singles runs right now and put them in teams, and you can get fresh stories out of it. That makes sense. Those tag titles mean nothing. If Dakota and Raquel had actually won those women's titles back then instead of a bad match, a worse finish, and then creating your own titles, like, maybe you could have built it up. These new titles were like DOA, and they're never going to mean anything because the main rosters don't either, and these are below those. So, like, Io and Zoe are going to win this match probably, and then, like, it's not going to matter. I still like my idea where every time those titles are defended, there's new champions, because that's the funniest thing I could think of, and I think it would work great. Blah, blah, blah. Io uppercuts Dakota Kai, hits the moonsault, she wins. Of course, Dakota lost. That's why she was there. So, Zoe Stark, Io Shirai, moving on to the Great American Bash next week to challenge Indy and Candice for those women's tag titles. Again, don't care about those titles. That match is going to be really good, so that'll be fun. All four of them are very good wrestlers. That should be fun. Scarlett and Karrion Kross are arriving in their car at the building. As they're walking in, Kross is attacked by Johnny Gargano. They're pulled apart by security. Says Johnny pissed him off, and he is a dead man. It's funny watching little Johnny Gargano beat up big Karrion Kross, because there's something very funny about watching a very small boy man beat up a very big bald man. And I don't know why, at what point it specifically becomes funny, but I know at some point I am laughing, which I don't know if that's the idea, but that's what we're doing. We find out the NXT Breakout Tournament is coming back. That's the one that started in 2019 that had Cameron Grimes, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Dexter Lumis, Joaquin Wilde, Angel Garza, and Bronson Reed were all shown in that that tournament. Kind of gives you a look at some of the new people they're bringing in. A lot of them had already made names for themselves, but maybe like an NXT crowd hadn't known about them yet. So that's good. Tournament returns in 2 weeks, so that'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, keep an eye out for who's in that tournament, because it usually means a lot. A lot of the people that you're watching every week came from that tournament. Bronson Reed's being interviewed. Thinks the news about the tournament is really cool. Said, if it weren't for that tournament, I don't think I'd be North American champ. Hit Row interrupts, and Swerve basically challenges Bronson Reed for the North American title tonight. I wrote in all caps, Swerve better win that match. Don't worry, I'm going to mention it a few more times. Karrion Kross comes out to the ring like the fastest he's ever done that. Because he's upset, you see. Because the smaller boy man beat him up earlier. Kross says, Mr. Gargano, touche. Last week I got you. This week you got me. Like, he barely got you. You see, that's all very cute. But unfortunately for you, I'm willing to die by the sword I'm living by. I'm curious if you're willing to do the same. If your wrestling results in somebody dying, specifically pertaining to swords, you are doing it incorrectly, because it should just be a fight. Nobody should, like, have to come in ready to die, I don't think. Said Johnny, I dare you to walk down to this ring and see how well you fare when I could see the shot coming. This is a weird feud, because these are both bad guys. These are both heels. Karrion Kross is absolutely still a bad guy. They were flirting with it for a second, but he's a bad guy. And Johnny's 100% a bad guy. And you've sold it as Johnny is a better wrestler than Karrion Kross, but Karrion Kross is a monster, which, for NXT fans who tend to be more work rate oriented than WWE product oriented, nailed it. They go with Johnny because he's the better wrestler, and that's what you've told them. Johnny comes out, and he's cheered, which is what happens when you point out how good of a wrestler he is compared to others. He said, last week the NXT champ attacked me from behind like a coward. He said, that ring is my world you are standing in. I don't have a sword, but I do have actual talent. Do you guys get it? Johnny's a better wrestler than Karrion Kross. So, like, here's the issue. Is that in the storyline from Johnny's perspective, so if you beat Karrion Kross at the Great American Bash, doesn't mean anything because you are a better wrestler, you should have won. But now if you lose to Karrion Kross, you lost to an inferior wrestler, so what does that make you? That's an old adage I learned from Roddy Piper. He said he was cutting a promo on a guy and was talking about how old and beat up he was. And the guy said, if I'm old and past my prime, if you beat me, what does that mean? Just seems like at this point, you're setting it up for kind of failure. And if I could see that, then that's probably not great. He says, you're bigger than me, but I'm smarter. And Austin Theory attacks Karrion Kross from behind. They gang up on him. Kross takes them out pretty quickly. Kross is about to smash Gargano with the ring stairs, and security comes out to separate them again. While they're holding Karrion Kross, Gargano hits a super kick, and he and Austin run away, because security's very bad at their jobs. Samoa Joe at some point made his way down here, and him and Kross have a staring contest again. Kross says, you're doing a hell of a job, Joe, and walks off. Another promo video for Diamond Mine coming up next. I mean, sure. We get a shot of Johnny and Austin Theory leaving the building and getting in their car. They pull off. Austin says that's the best super kick he's ever seen. It's official. Tonight it will be Isaiah Swerve Scott challenging Bronson Reed for that North American title. Second mention now, Swerve better win. The announcers give Regal credit for that huge match. those two dudes are the one that made that match, not William Regal. I love him too. Don't give him credit for stuff he didn't do. Diamond Mind is out, as Roderick Strong is in action tonight. Roderick Strong is, like, fine. He's weird for a leader of a thing. Malcolm Bivens is great, and they never really know what to do with him. These other two dudes, I don't know. I think one of them's Tyler Rex. I think I saw him in one match, and it was fine, and I don't recognize the other dude. Roderick Strong is facing an enhancement talent tonight, which is a weird move for a guy that we have seen wrestle a lot. Usually you do enhancement matches when you are showing off your power and your new move set. Like, I've seen Roderick Strong for years now. It's a quick match. Roderick Strong gets a quick submission victory because now he's in Diamond Mine and they do submissions, I'm going to guess. The announcers say that Diamond Mine smells like money. I disagree. Diamond Mind is open for business, and this is just the beginning, says Malcolm Bivens. I have seen Diamond Mind twice now, and I gotta tell ya, it really feels like nothing. Kind of like I'm all for using Roderick Strong to kind of help some guys who are maybe newer to NXT. Malcolm Bivens is great. He's great in everything they give him, which is not a lot. I don't know these other two dudes. Every time they're out there, or I've seen them out there, it just feels like nothing. So, we'll see. I mean, the first thing they did was attack the Cruiserweight Champion. So, like, that's where their priorities are. Like, they're not getting to the NXT Championship level. They're probably not beating Isaiah Swerve Scott for the title he just won. So, like, the highest we're going is probably Cruiserweight title, because even the tag titles will be spoken for. So again, this really feels like we didn't have anything to do with these folks, so we threw them together, and we don't really have an idea yet. Seems like we're figuring it out along the way. Boy, it feels like in like 2 months, this is going to be a thing. We're going to be like, remember when these two dudes were always like together? That was weird, huh? Come back from commercial, Kyle O'Reilly's in the ring. He said, this whole journey has been about testing myself. He said, I want to fight dudes that'll make me a better fighter. Next week, it's Cole O'Reilly 2. He said, the last time we fought, it was gritty and violent and unsanctioned. He said, he proved to the world that I belong in the main event and may one day be NXT champion. I'm going to disagree with that general like assessment of himself and his match with Adam Cole. I think he certainly proved that he could beat Adam Cole, but I think he proved way more times that he's like probably not a main event guy in terms of winning, and he's certainly not going to be NXT champion one day, I don't think. Like maybe if they need a champion like down the road, if he's still there, but like I don't think that's ever going to be the plan. So he calls Cole down to the ring. Cole actually does come out. Before he can talk, Samoa Joe comes out with security. He leaves security on the entrance ramp, and he gets in the ring. He said, gentlemen, please excuse my poorly timed interruption. He says, with respect to both of your personal safety, I want none of the action from last week to come to this week. So, gentlemen, have at it. Now, he's in the middle. Cole says, before I was interrupted, I was about to say that, Kyle, you made it clear you wish so badly you could be in my shoes. He said, you go home at night and hope and pray that someday you'll have half the career I've had, and it won't happen. At this point, Adam Cole is convinced that Kyle is obsessed with him, and it creeps him out a little bit. And he says, the fact is that Kyle O'Reilly is nothing without Adam Cole. So it goes deeper than NXT. Nobody would be talking about you if not for me. So in all those moments with the Undisputed Era, when you watch that footage, you see me stand beside you. The guy who was responsible for all the success you've had in this industry. He says, the fact is, I was the star of the Undisputed Era, nailed it, carried you on my back for 4 years, and I am still the star. The entire world knows it. That NXT locker room knows it, and much as he doesn't want to admit it, Samoa Joe knows it. For some reason, he says even your wife knows it. I'm not sure how we jumped to there. It kind of feels like they don't feel like Undisputed Era breaking up is enough of a reason for these two to keep fighting. And so they did the WWE thing where they either will have somebody say the B word, or they will like say, you're a family member did this thing. And so he threw his wife in there. So that's cool. They get face to face, and Joe tries to keep them separate. Cole goes to, I think, hit Joe, but Joe ducks, and it goes. I'm not sure if he was trying to punch Joe or, like, punch O'Reilly and Joe was in the way. Not sure. But O'Reilly sweeps him, gets him in, a leg lock. Looked like maybe, again, he was going to try and hit Joe, but Joe ducked. I'm not sure. Cole's now begging for Joe to get O'Reilly off him. Joe just kind of shrugs, gets out of the ring slowly. Once he takes a few steps outside the ring, he eventually gets security to run in there and break it up. Can't wait for Joe to fight somebody. It's going to be great. Karrion Kross is getting in his car with Scarlett. He's jumped by Gargano and Theory again. They didn't actually leave, guys. Gargano's cutting a promo about how he's better than Kross. Kross pops up and puts a chokehold on Johnny. He chokes out Johnny and clubs Theory in the back of the head, and he and Scarlett leave. When they pull off, Joe is now in the parking lot. He's a busy dude tonight, and he's lifting up Johnny. He says, perhaps tonight you pushed him a little bit too far, kid. Drags him back inside. At the Great American Bash, it's also going to be Cameron Grimes challenging LA Knight for the $1 million title. If Cameron Grimes loses, he has to become LA Knight's butler. I don't remember for how long. That's going to be a really good match. LA Knight should win, and then it's going to be pretty funny to watch Cameron Grimes be a butler. So I'm good with that. If he's going to be LA Knight's like Virgil, that'll be interesting. Except he's like a better wrestler, so that's good. We get, obviously, O'Reilly Cole, too. I don't know, man. Just kind of feels like it's going to be a really good wrestling match, but for some reason, it doesn't feel as personal as it should. And you really got to stop putting Adam Cole in there with Kyle O'Reilly, because Kyle O'Reilly's not a promo guy, which is fine and doesn't stick out until he is in there with one. And Adam Cole's one of your best promos in your company. And so every time they're together, I'm just waiting for O'Reilly to stop talking because it doesn't feel authentic. And then I wait for Adam Cole to speak. So that's probably not helping. The women's tag title match. So that would be Indy and Candice defending against Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. Again, it doesn't mean anything, and it's going to be a really good match. So that's fine. We also get the men's tag title match, which is MSK defending those titles against Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. MSK could go ahead and lose those titles. That'd be fine. Ciampa and Thatcher are a fun team. I'd like to see them with tag titles. That'd be fun. We go to the main event. Hit Rose out first. He said, I've said it twice so far, but Swerve better win this North American title and make this title feel important again. Speaking of which, Bronson Reed's out next. Boy, if he loses, that was a nothing title reign, huh? It's at this point in my notes I wrote, I can't decide if Hit Row is cool or lame. They don't get very long, but Swerve is really, really good, so it's fun. One Hit Row member distracts the ref. The other runs up on the apron and pulls Bronson Reed off the top rope down to the apron. Now, the other guy tries to run and charge Bronson Reed, but misses and crashes through the COVID screen they have at ringside. Then Bronson tosses the other one over on top of the other one. Okay, so Hit Row's lame. Hit Row debuted and only wrapped, which is already weird. Some of them are trying too hard. That lady's trying too hard a lot of the time, and I don't know if she's a good rapper or not, but they're lame. So it took me until this point in the match to realize it, but they aren't cool. They're lame. It's just Swerve is cool. So he's getting back in the ring. Swerve kicks him in the face, hits a 450 splash to pin Bronson Reed and win the North American title. So it was indeed a nothing title run. He wins it from Johnny Gargano after losing the first time. For some reason, he wins it. Still not really sure why. Then defends it once. Him and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma. And it was for all of their titles. So the North American title and the tag titles. They defended that. And then doesn't even make it to Great America Bash. Just loses it to Swerve here. So I don't know if this was like an experiment that went wrong or if they were going to do something and Vince decided he wanted Bronson Reed on the main roster or if like they got him in as champion and realized it wasn't working. I don't know, but I know that was short and not very effective. So again, Hit Row's really lame. Swerve's really good. I always thought Swerve could be doing more than just cruiserweight title matches, and here we are. I assume now that Bronson Reed's going to go to the main roster. He's not a finished product whatsoever in terms of promos or matches, so I don't see it going great on the main roster, because I think if Vince wants him on their main roster, it's like a temporary fascination he's going to have, and then like he's going to get bored. And I don't think Bronson Reed is ready to like connect with fans on the main roster, because I don't think he did it in NXT, which is a smaller scale version. So like, if he goes to the main roster, I sincerely wish him the best of luck, but I don't see what we're going to do with him over there. Also, he has an accent. Vince hates those. Believe he's what, Australian? And if you have any kind of accent, except if you're like Drew McIntyre, Vince doesn't like it. You can kind of get your own conclusion from that, but just know if you have an accent or English is not your first language, Vince is not gonna like you very much. So take whatever lesson you want from that. So Swerve celebrates while Bronson's emotional in the ring, maybe for the last time in NXT. So again, next week now will be Great American Bash. One more time, at ZachNXT on Twitter. Let me know what you think of the matches we have so far. What do you think is going to be the best match on the show? I want to hear what you think over there. In the meantime, you can catch us next week here on the NXT Review. Also, if you would please go subscribe to Random Wrestling. It's more of me over there. Give it a listen. Maybe rate and review. New episodes of that will be out every week as well. In the meantime, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.